ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 13, Text 3. We have this. Didn't write it? Okay, I'll chant it for myself and then we'll chant the word for word meaning. Sri Raja Uvacha Indrasya Nirvritir Hetum Srotum Ichami Bomune Yenasan Sukino Deva Harer Dukkam Kutho Bhavat. This is word for word meaning. Please repeat. Sri Raja Uvacha, King Parikshit inquired, Indrasya, of King Indra, Anivrithe, of the moroseness, Hetum, the reason, Srotum, to hear, Ichami, I wish, Bo, O my Lord, Mune, O great sage, O great sage Sukadeva Goswami, Yena, by which, Asan, where, Sukina, very happy, Deva, all the demigods, Hare, of Indra, Dukkham, moroseness, Kuta, from where, Abhavat, was. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, O great sage, what was the reason for Indra's unhappiness? I wish to hear about this. When he killed Vritrasura, all the demigods were extremely happy. Why then was Indra himself unhappy? Purport. This, of course, is a very intelligent question. When a demon is killed, certainly all the demigods are happy. In this case, however, when all the demigods were happy because of Vritrasura's having been killed, Indra was unhappy. Why? It may be suggested that Indra was unhappy because he knew that he had killed a great devotee and Brahmana. Vritrasura outwardly appeared to be a demon, but inwardly he was a great devotee and therefore a great Brahmana. Herein it is clearly indicated that a person who is not at all demoniac, such as Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, may outwardly be a demon or be born in a family of demons. Therefore, in terms of real culture, one should not be considered a demigod or a demon simply according to birth. In his dealings while fighting with Indra, Vritrasura proved himself a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, as soon as he finished fighting with Indra and was apparently killed, Vritrasura was transferred to Vaikuntha Loka to become an associate of Sankarsana. Indra knew this, and therefore he was morose at having killed such a demon, who was actually a Vaishnava or Brahmana. A Vaishnava is already a Brahmana, although a Brahmana may not be a Vaishnava. The Padma Purana says, Satkarma Nipuno Vipro, Mantra Tantra Visharada, A Vaishnavo Guru Nasyad, Vaishnavo Swapacho Guru. One may be a Brahmana in terms of his culture and family, and may be expert in Vedic knowledge, Mantra Tantra Visharada. But if he is not a Vaishnava, he cannot be a Guru. This means that an expert Brahmana may not be a Vaishnava, but a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. A millionaire may very easily possess hundreds and thousands of dollars, but a person with hundreds and thousands of dollars is not necessarily a millionaire. Vritrasura was a perfect Vaishnava, and therefore he was also a Brahmana. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So it's a very nice translation and purport as usual. It's showing the position of Indra. Indra, we may think like, oh, you know, Indra is a materialistic person, he's a rascal, you know. Vritrasura was better. But comparing to ourselves, at least to myself, Indra was like way ahead in all aspects. But still, the tendency is that he's committing mistakes. That's why Prabhupada often explains that to know something is one thing, but to act on it, that's another thing. So Indra knows, you know, whatever we're reading, Indra's, you know, is not a fool. He understands. He understands the full picture, but still, he was not able to act on it due to various attachments and ego. Therefore, Prabhupada says, that's when we need mercy. Without the mercy, you know, we are not able to act properly. Even though we may know high philosophy. Even a new devotee that comes in the door, we hear him talking. Like, you know, you can hear, like, you know, they're talking like very high philosophy. That's because they're reading, you know, Prabhupada's teaching and repeating. But later on, we get to see, you know, how real that is, how real what we are saying is, based on our actions, our activities. That's what makes us spiritual. That's what makes us, you know, a genuine devotee. So for that, we need mercy of Krishna. Like Prabhupada one instant writes that just like Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, and, you know, it's not possible for anyone to lift the Govardhan hill. Similarly, Our false ego and our attachments are like this huge mountain. On our own, to deal with it, it's impossible. But if Krishna helps, then we can overcome all this and become a genuine devotee. Like this nice pastime, Radhanath Maharaj was speaking amongst the yoga guests recently in Beverly Hills. He was mentioning this beautiful pastime from Ramayana, how when Ram was wandering through the forest, he came across this boatman. And Ram was requesting this boatman to take them across the river, the Sarayu River. And this boatman actually refused. The boatman said, I recently heard a pastime where you actually stepped on a stone. This is actually in the Ramayana, when Ram stepped on this stone, the stone turned into this beautiful woman. Her name was Ahalya, because she was cursed to become a stone because she was like not acting appropriately with the sages. So she was cursed to become a stone, and when Ram stepped on it, when his lotus feet touched the stone actually turned into this really, really beautiful woman, and, you know, and Ram went on with his travels. So this boatman said, I'm really, really poor. All I have in my possession is this boat. And I already have one Mataji to deal with. And if you stepped on this boat and it turned into a beautiful woman, what will I do for my, you know, food? And Ram said, no, that's a different situation, won't happen. And the boatman said, just to be sure, can I just bathe your feet and remove all the dust from it? I guess this is a trickery to get Ram's dust as well. So the wife and the husband together, they bathe Ram's lotus foot and is sprinkled on his head. And then on board where Ram, Sita and the boatman, they were rowing. And Sita was so pleased with this boatman's seva service that she took off one of her rings and gave it to Ram and said, you know, give this to this boatman as a, you know, gift for all this nice service he's doing. And when Ram gave the ring to the boatman said, my dear Lord, there is actually a, like you can say, like a policy, like there is like an agreement where one boatman don't accept payment from another boatman. And Ram was thinking like, Ram was like, I'm a boatman? I mean, you can take this from me, I'm not a boatman. And the boatman expertly explained that I'm just taking you from this side of the river to that side of the river. But you, my Lord, whoever takes shelter of your lotus feet, you actually take them, you know, beyond the material universe, beyond the Viraja Nadi, to Vaikuntha or Ayodhya. Therefore, you are the real boatman, transcendental boatman that helps cross the ocean of birth and death. Therefore, he said, it's no way I can accept payment. So this is the real culture, and this is the wealth, real wealth of the Vedic culture. It's this kind of understanding and humility. Humility based on knowledge and experience. So here we can see that Indra, he made a mistake and he was regretting. So this is the beauty of studying the ancient yoga texts, that actually trains us this proper mood. There's a proper mood in every circumstance, every situation. It's the ornament. That mood is actually the proper ornament that decorates and makes the Vaishnava more beautiful in the eyes of Krishna. But unfortunately, nowadays, we don't have any of such knowledge. Everybody is just working hard, like 13, 14 hours a day. Yesterday me and Vaninath went for a walk in the evening and we saw every home, like people are just glued in front of the TV, the window is open, they just sit in front of the TV. All they talk about is like recession. There's no idea of anything higher. I saw this clip where, Michael Jackson was actually given this heavy-duty painkiller. And it says that it's enough to knock out like two elephants. It's so strong, this painkiller, this dosage. Apparently he had an accident, fire accident, and since then he got addicted to this painkillers, and just like a few days before he was going to die, he's actually calling his doctor. And the doctor has recorded his phone call. And there he's talking how that, you know, that he cannot even talk. It's like really slow, like super slow and really blurry what he's saying. He's saying that he's going to perform in England. And he's saying that when people leave the show, they should discuss amongst each other how that was the best show they've ever seen. And he wants them to say that Michael is the most amazing artist ever. So this is what he's telling his doctor, that this is what should happen. In other words, the doctor should prepare him so much, I mean he's about to die in a week, that people should think like this. I mean, like the Vedas say, you can even take gold from a filthy place. Similarly, we can learn such determination from anyone, even, you know, whoever it is. You can learn the good qualities, like, you know, we can be so determined, like Prabhupada. You know, we can see the memories of Prabhupada. He was actually leaving his body, but he was translating his books. Prabhupada came to this world, as we know, Krishna sent him to write these books, and Prabhupada left this world writing his books. So determined. So we can learn this from anyone. But the sad fact is, just because people don't know the ABCs of spiritual understanding, you know, he's just like thinking he's, you know, Michael Jackson, and, you know, he wants, like, this body is already like finished, but still he wants to be the number one, even though the next week he's going to die. It's just very sad to see that. And this is happening all the time, all over the world, just because, you know, the basic spiritual understanding is lacking. Like Dhanavir Maharaj said recently in his classes, he said it takes about 2 seconds to become self-realized. He said somebody shows them a Prabhupada books, and shows them the painting of the changing bodies, and then they tell them, we're not the body, the body is just like a cage, and the soul is like the bird within the cage, and you are the soul, and the real happiness comes from connecting the soul with Krishna. Just hearing that from a book distributor took 2 seconds for somebody to understand what is self-realization. This is actually a fact. Many times we show people books, and very quickly, you know, people are hearing something like so amazing, but within such a short time. But because they're not, fortunately or unfortunately, definitely fortunately, they're not coming across these teachings, you know, their lives are being wasted and misdirected. They're just bewildered. Don't know what's the goal of life. And everybody is like actually dying without this basic understanding. So therefore, it is very, very important for us to share these teachings with others. Therefore, people can actually come to Krishna consciousness and start understanding these basic teachings, which will save themselves from so much anxiety and so much trouble. It's like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he wrote this book, what is called Die Before You Die. And in the book, he is explaining the death of the false ego. The whole world is in the misconception of this I, me and mine. So other than, Srila Prabhupada's teachings, it's very rarely explained all these things in detail, in a clear understanding. It's like my mother and I, we used to argue all the time. It's like when I came across Prabhupada's books, I would read the book and say, my God, this is it, There's nothing like this. This is the book, this is the moment. And she said, why do you have to be a fanatic? Always extremes. She said, let's see how long this lasts. But after 12, 13 years, recently when she was visiting, she said, what you say is true. Because there are amazing teachings out there, but people don't have a process. There are other sampradayas, people teaching spirituality, which is true, but they don't have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's like almost impossible to understand Radha and Krishna. And I noticed this big Sri Vaishnava Acharya is teaching, and millions of people watch his discourses, and which is fantastic. But then after the class, people don't know what to do with themselves. Because he doesn't tell them that, you can become my disciple, but you have to follow the four regulative principles. You have to chant certain number of rounds and distribute Bhagavad Gita's, come together as a society. People have no process. People are so intelligent. But after they hear the talk, they just don't know what to do with themselves. They just go back to, they switch the channel and go back to, cereal or cricket or something like this. So there's no understanding. Without just this, Krishna consciousness, especially Prabhupada's books, they actually connect all the dots together. People have understanding, some understanding of God. People have understanding of what is sinful to a certain extent. Everybody have some idea, but once they read Prabhupada's books, they actually can understand clearly, this is it, It's like my uncle, for example, he wakes up every morning and worships Shalagram Shila. And then what? And then he has coffee and then he watches cricket. He's retired. He thinks it's luxury. It's like Prabhupada said, these guys have worked all life, but still they're working hard to put a ball inside a hole. He was talking about people playing golf. Similarly, because there's no process, because there's no guru, there's no guidance, people's energies and potential have been misdirected. And you may know what's the right thing to do, but by default you make mistake because that's the nature of the material world, that's the nature of the conditioned soul. The temptations and distractions and all these things are too strong for us to withstand on our own. It's just not possible without Krishna's mercy. Therefore, all these chapters, they conclude by explaining how, you know, like Prabhupada says, that a devotee automatically develops all the good qualities of the demigods. Who is that star? Sarvair gunai tatra samasate sura. Harao bhaktasya kuto mahadhuna. Prabhupada says all the time. Just by chanting Hare Krishna and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we're supposed to and we will eventually develop all the good qualities of the demigods, such as Indra. I'm just kidding. We're supposed to develop all the good qualities. So these are some of the things I wanted to discuss. If any of you senior devotees would like to open some discussion. Achita bro. Well, just association. Achita Prabhu is asking, how did my mom go from opposing my views to becoming a devotee herself? I mean, she was born in a devotee family and she was pious, but then she didn't know what Krishna consciousness was. When I started practicing Krishna consciousness, she was actually very concerned. She didn't know what it was. But then when I explained to her, it's just Vaishnavism, pure Vaishnava philosophy. And she started reading. She started reading every day like, you know, like 4 hours. She had 4 books like Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna book. She was watching TV all the time. One day I was a new devotee and my Guru Maharaj was giving a Bhagavatam class and I raised my hand and said, what do you do when somebody is watching TV all the time around you? And he says, who? Who are you living with? I said, my mother. He said, I will talk to her. So she came for the Sunday feast and then she said, Maharaj, anything I can do for you? She said, maybe you shouldn't watch so much television. It's affecting your son. And she just was so embarrassed. She looked at me like, you told him that? So as soon as Maharaj went away, she cornered me and started like pounding me. Like, how could you tell that to the Swamiji? And Maharaj saw that through a glass door and he came running and he was laughing like, I saw that. So Maharaj was saying that all the time. Anytime she's there in the class, he would say, remember the time you used to watch so much television? So she was actually getting initiation in Mayapur. And then Maharaj said, okay, come forward and say the 4 regulative principles. I mean, she's been a widow for a long time. You know, there's no question of illicit sex. So she said, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. And she wouldn't say illicit sex. She was like embarrassed. And Maharaj says, I understand, but just say it. You got to say it. And she said, no watching television. And Maharaj started laughing and he told the whole story in front of like thousands of people. And my mom said, why does he have to say that all the time? I say, he forgot it. You reminded him. So she was pious, but then when she read Prabhupada's writings and then when she comes and stays with us, she can see like, you know, devotees like Swarna, Sundari Gopika, Suresh, Rajavedya and his wife, you know, they're like young South Indians and she goes around the world seeing what people this age, how, you know, what kind of lifestyle they have and how, you know, unhappy they are and how unfriendly they are. They hosted my mom for like 2 months, you know, who in the world would do that. You know, not even your own kids will do that in Kali Yuga. So she can see that the qualities of followers of Prabhupada, and she's so impressed. Now she's promoting wherever she goes, ISKCON and Krishna consciousness. Yes, bro.
We hear the pastimes of Lord India, and sometimes we see that he includes abominable things.
Now he gets to see Krishna and talks to Krishna, and here we have the example sometimes of all the followers of Krishna who one would like to see that, would have to have at least that vision of Krishna, but they don't somehow. In the meantime, can you expand in this? Why?
Well, in like it says, Bhagavatam is showing us what to be and what not to be. So Indra is a very dear devotee of Krishna who is playing that thankless role of setting the, you know, bad example. Like Krishna is using him to show the world what we should not do. So obviously these are not like ordinary personalities. They're very, very dear to Krishna. And as far as our devotees seeing Krishna, there are, you know, so many examples of, you know, very highly elevated Prabhupada disciples leaving this world, you know, and they're seeing Krishna. Like Prabhupada actually told Giriraj Maharaj that the parents of devotees, parents of his disciples who are not even practicing Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, they will understand during their last breath what their son or daughter was up to all their life. In other words, Prabhupada said that at the time of their leaving this world, Krishna was going to give them special mercy. And we saw so many, even I read this book, I forget the title. It's like five or six Matajis. They're not like sannyasis or gurus. They're just simple, humble Matajis. They're leaving the world, but they're, you know, leaving the world in such an amazing way, Krishna conscious way. So was Prabhu. Even Gopi Parinathana Prabhu we saw. He was on a tour, he came just 2 days, he left his body in Govardhana.
Thank you for a nice class. In the course of your speaking, it made me think that how fortunate and unfortunate circumstances are here. One is that it's unfortunate for the demigods that they really can't associate with the process of Radha and Krishna, because they're always associating with each other on a very high level of enjoyment. And here we're seeing what the result of that is. There's warring going on. And really, when they're in trouble, all they do is go to the ocean and, you know, see the Govardhana ocean and request Lord Vishnu to help them. And sometimes they don't even see who Lord Vishnu is. They don't even see him. So for them, it's unfortunate in terms of like, they can't even indulge or even hear or associate on the level of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Whereas us, living in this material world, we're much more fortunate. Because here we have the association, as you said, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings and his pure devotees. And even though we don't even have that high level of enjoyment or power or mysticism, we're able to, by the mercy, as you said, have an opportunity to associate with the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada made it even more enticing by telling us that if we simply take the message of Lord Chaitanya and just preach, that it'll even be more ecstasy in the process of Krishna consciousness. So really, it's like we're reading, they're in the Bhagavatam, they're associating with Krishna, but their opportunities are not even a fraction of what the opportunities of our consist of here, of us being in the material world. So it just, you know, like even the, later on in the eighth canto, we see another big demon and demigod fight. They churn the ocean of nectar, and out of that comes Lakshmi Devi and so many different personalities. And Lord Shiva, he drinks the poison of the ocean. And the point being is that they're always in some kind of conflict. They're always in some kind of a tribulation. And they never really are out of it. They're always in that kind of situation. Whereas those of us that are in this material world, by the association of Krishna consciousness, we can surpass all that just by the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his parampara.
That's so true. Bhagavatam says that the lower planets, there's so much suffering, so they cannot think of Krishna. The higher planets, there's so much enjoyment, they cannot think of Krishna. And this earth planet is a good mix of hell and heaven. So here, even though life is very short, we can perfect our lives by chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, it says sages and saints, they worship Kali Yuga. And the demigods are standing in line to take birth in Bharatvarsha. It actually says that in the Srimad Bhagavat. So it's a very nice comment. So we'll stop there. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.